Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 2 of the study of Romans. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Romans 12, 3 through 8. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we get started today, I want to invite you, if you are an avid listener to this podcast, if you're a fan, maybe if you don't even like this podcast, I'm not sure why you're listening to it, but if you would be interested in finding out some of the other things that I do, I encourage you to go to darrenhibbs.com and sign up for my newsletter. I'm putting out a weekly newsletter where I try and keep you up to date with the various things that I try and do to encourage people in their walk with Christ. I produce, of course, this daily Bible study podcast. I have a video series on YouTube where I encourage people to really go after God with all of their hearts. I write books, which many of you know that I write Bible study books to go along with these podcasts, and I also write other books. And I write articles on my website from time to time. So if you consume any form of media, I make it in one form or another. Again, I do videos, articles, books, the podcast. And if you'd like to stay up to date with any of that, go to my website, darrenhibbs.com, and look for the sign-up form for my newsletter. Okay, with that, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So Paul, here he's starting out saying, listen, I've been given a certain amount of grace, and because of that, I want to give this to you. This is Paul now going and taking a step back from some of the ethereal theological things that we've been dealing with in the book of Romans, and now he's getting very practical. This is going to be something very practical to put into action, and really this chapter is him kind of shifting now and giving some practical application of what a lot of this looks like. So here he's saying, listen, don't think of yourselves too highly. This is not a problem with church people or church leaders. This is not a problem with the world. This is a problem with everyone. This is a problem with human nature. Everyone does this. So he's saying, listen, as a believer, don't do this. Back away from this. Instead, think about yourself with sober judgment. Look at yourself through someone else's eyes. Look at yourself through the Lord's eyes as best you can. Now, in saying that, that is impossible to do. Our minds are programmed to have biases. Our minds are programmed to work in these lanes that we create for them. And it's not really possible to just say, okay, well, I'm going to see myself through someone else's eyes. We can't do that. We can only see ourselves through our own eyes. It takes a lot of work and dedication to actually change those biases that we have, but we can't ever eliminate them. We can only exchange a bias for a new bias, but we will always have a bias. And that's for pretty much everything that we do in life. We've got these biases or these ruts, these lanes that our minds form into. And so what he's saying here is it's very good advice, but it's also very difficult. And that's why I think it's important, because it is so easy to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, because we do get in these ruts. We do have these biases, and these biases cause us to think that we're always right. We're always the good ones. We're the good guys. They're the bad guys. And Paul, and that's so much of what Paul has been dealing with in this book, is, we want to self-justify ourselves so that we're the ones, not all that bad. And those other guys, they're the really sinful ones who need you, God, but I'm okay like I am. You should really just accept me as I am. This is the practical application of that, is you actually have to take a step back and see yourself through the Lord's eyes. And you can't do that unless you're continually filling your mind with the Word, filling your mind with His standards, filling your mind with who He is. And that requires that sober judgment. So it's not easy, but it's necessary. Verse 4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This is important. And this is one of, again, one of those things where, hey, I'm good at preaching. And again, I don't want to pick on preachers, but they're the ones with the loudest mouths, so they're the easiest to pick on. But everyone does this. Everyone does this. This is human nature. This is not a church thing. This is not anything else. This is just human nature. So everyone does this by nature, unless you're very intentional otherwise. And even when you're intentional otherwise, it's still difficult to overcome this. But preachers, by and large, believe that most believers should be preachers, or they're not really fulfilling God's call. If you ask enough preachers, maybe not on the stage or in question and answer forums, but if you get to know them and you ask them these kinds of questions, then yes, most of them, not all of them, but most of them are going to believe that you're not really fulfilling God's call unless you're a preacher. That's what Paul is talking about here. It's that old adage of when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so when you are that one thing, you know, you feel like everybody should be that thing that you are, because it's the best thing and you're awesome at it and you love it. And no one else is quite as good as you because they don't do what you do. And that's nonsense. You know, if you're on a construction site, everybody can't be everything. You can't be an incredible carpenter and an iron erector, a steel erector, and, you know, a mason. And, you know, there's all of these different types of people that do all of the different types of work, and you get a skyscraper out of it. But no one person can do all of those things. Now, sure, one person can know enough about all of the different things to do it a little bit, but they're not going to be good at it. They're going to be useless. Like if everyone in building skyscrapers had to know how to do every different task that was needed to be done and had to perform them, it was the same people doing everything, you know, the tallest building on planet Earth would be 2.5 stories tall and crumbling. It doesn't work that way. You can't build things that way. And in the same way, Paul is saying here, the church doesn't work that way. The Lord has brought very different people together. He's gifted them differently, which is what he's about to talk about. And he's brought them all together. And yes, it causes tension. It causes us to rub up against each other. And that's why we need mercy and grace. But he's brought them together because if we learn to work together within the church, it will edify us. It will make us stronger. It will make us more Christ-like. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give graciously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So Paul, here at the end of this, he's talking about, you know, how we've all got these different gifts, or we're, you know, different ways that we express that. And he's saying, if you have these things, if the Lord has given you these things, then do them well. Do them well, but don't worry about other people that don't do them. If you are someone who the Lord has gifted, especially in prophecy, like you seem to prophesy and hear from the Lord more than anyone else around you, then do it in accordance with your faith. Do it as well as you can, but don't worry about people that don't. Don't look at other people that don't and think that they should be prophesying. Now, this one's a little bit different, because this is one in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, everyone, if you're going to seek any spiritual gift, seek this one. Now, that doesn't mean that that's going to be your main one, but he's basically like, do this. If there are two things that Paul, through the epistles, makes clear that you need to do, is you need to seek prophecy and you need to do the work of an evangelist, evangelize. Do those two things, even if you're not gifted in them. Now, people that are, you know, gifted in prophecy, that the Lord has put a special mantle on their life, there's something else. I mean, and it shows, it's obvious. I know one person who I would call a prophet, someone who the Lord has gifted, especially given an extra measure of grace in this. And he has called me, I want to say 40 to 50 times, called me and told me what I prayed in silent that morning and gave me the answer. I was asking the very thing I was asking the Lord for. He would call me and tell me. He would call me and tell me like the things that I was praying for or seeking. I mean, seriously, he's confirmed. And I'm not like saying he's called me and said, "Thus saith the Lord, do this." He's called me and told me 40 to 50 times what I was asking the Lord for, and I hadn't told anyone else. He would call and give me the answer from the Lord. That is something that not everyone is going to do. But Paul in 1 Corinthians says everyone should seek prophecy. The same thing with evangelism. I have friends that, man, they just like, they just like move into someone's personal space and they just start to weep and they're like, "Tell me how I can know God." You know, it's like they don't even have to open their mouth and these people fall apart and want to know Jesus. They are someone that the Lord has put a mantle of evangelism on. And I'm terrible at evangelism. I'm terrible, but it doesn't absolve me from needing to go after that. And it's the same with all of these. Just because it's not something that I possess doesn't mean I shouldn't go after them. I think Paul, through his epistles, makes prophecy and evangelism probably the two most important ones that everyone should work toward. But all of these things, everyone should go after them. But it doesn't mean that you are especially graced with these things. One of the things that Paul reiterates in several of his epistles, he's got some themes that he reintroduces several times in different letters to different groups of people. But this is one that I notice that sticks out like a sore thumb, is his desire to see people seek spiritual gifts and to operate in them and to understand that the Lord has gifted them with this in a special way to bless the church, even though everyone else around them doesn't operate in this. And so, you know, giving, leading, showing mercy, all of these things, we need this. And one of the things, you know, people that lead diligently, not everyone leads, but we do need people to lead diligently, not people that want to be humble, falsely humble servant leaders. We don't need people, you know, that want to show off how awesome they are leading. They just need to do it diligently and understand that they're not super awesome because the Lord has called them to lead. That's just what the Lord called them to. And not everybody's great at that. It doesn't make them better than anyone else. They just need to lead diligently. If you show mercy and then don't hold it other people's heads. Show mercy and be an example. Give generously and be an example. All of these things, they're for the building up of the entire body of Christ. I want to say one thing about spiritual gifts, because Paul does reiterate these things in multiple books. And many people have gone through spiritual gifts assessments and things like that. And I think there's some positive things behind that, but I think it's mostly a fundamental misunderstanding of how the Lord gives spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts assessment tests were initially developed, and Ed Stetzer, if you want to Google him, he, or one of his colleagues, he works for Lifeway Research. One of he and his colleagues just did a research article about the history of spiritual gifts assessment tests. and basically they all started back in the 70s with some, you know, PhD candidates or whatever, trying to come up with a thesis and basically coming up with spiritual gifts assessment tests to mostly combat what they thought was aberrant theology from the charismatic movement. They were non-charismatic people trying to say, well, you know, we don't like how the charismatic people are all into spiritual gifts and, you know, non-charismatics aren't. And so we need to kind of redefine what spiritual gifts are. And the most spiritual gifts actually assessment tests seem to try and desupernaturalize spiritual gifts. And I think that's a travesty. Most people look at spiritual gifts as them not being supernatural. And we need to absolutely understand that every spiritual gift that Paul ever lists, they are supernatural. You don't have the gift of leadership in church because you're good at it or you're awesome. It's because God gave it to you and he gave it to you supernaturally. You don't have the desire to show mercy to people because you're just super cool and you're nicer than other people. No, no one wants to show mercy to mean people. If you can do that, the Lord gave that to you supernaturally. If you can prophesy, hear God's voice, that's not because you're closer to him than anyone else. That's because he's the one speaking to you. He's spoken to donkeys and through donkeys before. It's not about you. These things are all supernatural. Serving, how many people, just if you were to take a poll, how many people, yes, I love to serve people that, you know, like Jesus did, that want to spit at me and crucify me. I love doing that. Yes, I just love that. Nobody likes that. Nobody does that. So if you're someone with a heart of service, that is supernatural. That is not normal. So when we come together, we can't look at these things as normal and natural. Oh yes, I was just born and gifted. My gift mix is that, you know, I'm 50% serving and 50% leading. No, these things are super natural from God. They're not something that we're just kind of good at. No, these are important. And Paul is trying to make that clear here. And I think it's important for us to understand that these things are important. They're too important to just shove to the side with some assessment test. We need to work into them, labor into them, develop them, grow them in ourselves and in other people. Help other people grow in the things that we have, understanding that they may never walk in them to the same degree that we do, but to encourage the body. It's too important not to seek after these things. And I think Paul makes that very clear here and in other epistles that he's written. Well, with that rant over, that's all the time I have for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.